Father, we just thank you now in the name of Yeshua, Lord God, that we can spend some fruitful time here, Lord, to sing one subject, Lord God, and that you'd give wisdom, Father, and help us to have a good discussion with you in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. Two things. The main reason, to be honest with you, the reason I wanted to get together with you all, even though it's not a big group here, is just that a lot of times there can be a feeling that, you know, that we don't care. You know, the leadership doesn't care or the congregation doesn't care about the teenagers. It's kind of like slipped off. And so I wanted you to feel how important you are to me, that I'm willing to give up the main service and to spend some time with you all just talking on a subject that you probably find it relevant and enjoyable, and also get some good feedback.
The second thing is that I also wanted to begin to talk about the future as far as the teams go, and maybe you all as to maybe in the approach that you take or whatever.
Okay, first of all, I want to talk, as I said, the subject is dating the teenagers. So I'll put it up here, do a basic list. Okay. And first question I have for you is, who here at one time has liked someone of the opposite sex? Raise your hand. You know, just whatever. You know, don't be bashful if you like somebody. I mean, it's normal, okay? I mean, if it's not, you know, I mean, that's the normal thing. And I'm not talking about falling in love or anything like that. I'm just talking about just have, you know, like someone that you'd like to know a little bit better. Okay. Well, I want to ask, because I want to write down a list, what about them did you like? What things attracted you to that other individual? I'm not going to ask for any names, don't worry. But what is it that you found, you know, that caused you to like that person?
Looks.
Okay. All right. Well, that's honest. Hey, look, I want to tell you something. The church I was at before this, I was talking on the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage to the adults, and we had 2 full weeks on the subject of sex. And it was a lot of discussion. I had them giving me answers about what they liked and so forth. And talk about being embarrassed. I mean, these are grown adults, married couples, and they're like, well, it's the first time I've ever seen a black man turn red in my entire life. So it's probably the closer to the color. But anyway, okay. So looks. What else?
Personality.
Okay. Okay, anything else? Interest? Okay. Anything else?
The love for the Lord.
Love for the Lord? Okay.
Common goal.
Okay, what else? Anything else?
Common goal.
Common goals? Okay. Okay, either way. Okay, anything else? All right, well, those are good. Now, the reason we talked about this is that almost all of these are really important issues in the question of dating the teenager. And the question is, why is it that dating is even an issue among teenagers? And the answer is that most of you here, if not all of you, are going to get married someday. I don't know if that was like, you know, a breakthrough revelation, you know, but most of you will, okay? And after the issue of salvation, your marriage decision is going to be the most important decision you're ever going to make, okay, by far. And the reason you're going to end up living with that person for the majority of your life, you're going to have your greatest crises to that person you're married with. You're going to have your greatest joys and your greatest heartache, everything else. And you spend most of your time with that individual. And so that's the reason that dating is such an important issue. I want to read quick scripture from Matthew 19 about how Yeshua sees the subject of marriage and see how important that he considers it. Matthew 19, verse 4. Okay. Yeshua said, haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And I think the two important things here is that, according to what Yeshua says, is that in marriage, the two people actually become one unit before God. That's an incredible just change in a person's life. God no longer just deals with you individually in a marriage, but he deals with the two of you together And it's a very big change for most, you know, for everybody primarily. And secondly, is that God says, whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Do you realize that right now, one out of every two marriages in this country get divorced? And God is saying that whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And so you can see what's happening is that man is tearing apart that which God has said is together. Now the question is now, why is that important for teenagers? It's because you're in the process now over the next, you know, 7, 10, 15 years of end up finding that one person that God called you together with. And what I want to do, the rest of the time I want to talk about the subject of dating. And first of all, I want to get some definitions of what you think dating is. Okay? So definitions of dating. Okay, who's got some definitions?
Seeing each other regularly.
Seeing each other regularly, okay. Hope this thing may not last a lot longer here.
Want to see a movie and
okay, what else? Dating. Definitions of dating.
It's a pretty broad one there.
Yeah.
Seeing each other regularly is like
what else?
Oh, no. Oh,
okay. Anybody else have anything?
Setting aside time to be with that person specifically.
Okay. Setting aside time. All right. What else? Okay, well, I have another definition for you, and it's going to be different than these. Okay? And my definition is this. That dating is the process by which we decide what we value in a future spouse. Okay? Dating is the I'm going to write it down. Dating is the process by which we decide what we value in a future spouse. In other words, dating is the process in which we determine what is it that we like in a member of the opposite sex that we want to eventually marry with. Okay? It's not just, oh, I'm going to find the right person, but it's determining the values that are important to you in making that choice. See, the biggest, there's many problems with people getting married and marrying the wrong people and so forth. But one of the biggest hassles, the biggest problems, is that people get married to somebody that they don't have similar values to. Okay? A believer, for instance, gets married together with an unbeliever. And so they have sharply different values. One person has interests, let's say, of going overseas or, you know, living overseas. Another person wants to live in a rural town, like a farm town. I mean, those are the kinds of problems that end up turning and just destroying a complete marriage. And there's other things. So let me write that down. Dating is the process by which, okay, we decide what we value in a future spouse. See, what's going to happen is as each of you experience different relationships, is that you're going to determine what is it that you like and what is it that you don't like. See, that's what's going to end up happening, and that's what you want the dating relationships to help determine, okay, is the values that are important to you. Now, a big question then is dating wrong for a believer? Okay? Is dating wrong for a believer? Any other
question?
Yeah, it's a question. What do you think?
No?
Okay. Any other views? Is there any yeses?
It all depends on how you look at dating.
Yeah, that's exactly right. How hit it? See, I believe the issue is how you look at dating. It determines whether or not it's wrong or right for a believer. Okay. And what I believe is if dating, now listen closely, if dating means getting deeply emotionally and physically involved with a person before God's choice for you, then it's dead wrong. Okay? It's dead wrong. However, if dating means learning how to get to know another person, then it's right. Okay? Then it's right for a believer. So, let's first talk about, before we get into some of the specifics on dating, is that what should, if you think about marriage, what should be the primary basis of a marriage be? What should be the primary basis of a marriage? In other words, what do you want a marriage to be built upon?
I would say trust.
On what?
Trust.
Trust?
God.
Trust, love, God, okay. Anything else?
What was the question?
What kind of values should a marriage be based upon?
What kind of values?
Okay. Let me throw out a couple of other ones. And I think these are the key ones. Number one is shared goals. Okay? Shared goals. In other words, a marriage, it needs to be based on the two people are in agreement as to what the goals are for life. Okay? If there's disagreement as to the general goals, man, you're going to have major problems. And secondly, and probably one of the most important things, is marriage needs to be based upon friendship. Okay? Friendship. We're going to talk about how the world looks at marriage and dating and so forth versus how I believe God looks at it. And marriage needs to be based on friendship. My best friend is Stacy, my wife, by far. There's nobody else that I confide in like I confide in her. When I'm going through struggles, I'll talk to her. When I go through great experiences, I talk to her. We share our lives with one another. She's my best friend. Whoever your spouse is to be is definitely going to have to be your best friend. You know, you say, well, what about the girls we get together, you know, for Tupperware parties or play tennis or whatever we're going to do? Or what about the guys we go bowling or play ball? Okay, other friendships are great in marriage. Everybody needs other friendships, but your best friend needs to be your spouse. Okay, now, dating then, okay, because we're talking really about dating. Dating is the time to develop good friendships. That's one of the goals of dating, is to find good friends of the opposite sex and to also help define your goals for your life, what's important to you as an individual. Now, what's interesting about being a teenager is the time of the teenage years is a time where you're finding your own identity, who you are. Before that, you were basically whatever your parents said you were, okay? And they said, okay, well, you're going to do this and you're going to do that and this is what you are. But as a teenager, and there's nothing wrong with it, this is the time as you're growing into maturity and you're beginning to find out who you are. What do you believe? Teenagers always ask a lot of questions about fundamental things, about big issues. And one of the big questions in a believing family is God real? Okay? To a teenager, that's a big issue, especially in a believing family. They say, is God really real? Is Yeshua really the Messiah? What about all these other religions? What about the poor Indian who's never heard about Jesus? How can you say Jesus is the only way? These are the kinds of questions that teenagers are going to ask. I remember I was a teenager. And you know why? That I rejected the traditional religion that I was brought up in, which is rabbinic Judaism, is because it didn't have any answers to relevant topics. That's why. It's like everybody would get together on the high holy days or to get together on Sabbath, and they'd go through these ritual books and they'd read all these prayers that were written 2,000 years ago, but they didn't have any relevance to my life today. And I thought, why am I doing this? And you know what the answer was? My folks used to give me, and the rabbi used to say to me, it's because it was always done that way. It's a way to remember your heritage. And I thought, well, what good does that do me now? I mean, I want something that's relevant now. See, because I grew up in what's called a pragmatic family. In other words, you had to have answers. And the reason I came to know God is because He has answers. He gave me answers to my life, the longing for my life. Teenagers ask those questions, and if you're asking those questions, that's all right. Okay? It's okay because you have to find the answers for yourself. Now, that doesn't mean to be arrogant towards your parents, not attend congregation life and stuff like that, but it means it's okay to ask questions because God wants you to be the person that you are, okay, that He's created you to be. The interesting thing is what you're going to find is that your true identity as an individual, as a teenager, is going to be found in God. Okay, as you find God for yourself, you're going to find who you really are. And then, what's really fascinating is that God has a special plan for each one of you. See, from the foundation of the world, before you were born, God has a specific plan for each one of you, something that's going to carry you through the rest of your life. And the earlier you find God in your lives, the earlier you're going to know that plan. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to be spinning your wheels. And that's what so many people do. And as teens question, they test, you know, all teens test, you know, boundaries and stuff like that. And as you test and you do those kinds of things, the key is the sooner you find God, the sooner you're going to find the real plan that God has for your life. It's a great thing. Now, as I said before, for most of you, marriage is going to be God's plan. And so as you begin to find God's plan in your life, you begin to find the person that God is calling you to be with for the rest of your life. Okay? Now, as a teenager, very few of you are going to be able to find, as a teenager, who it is that God's chosen you to go. Now, maybe as you get 16, 17, 18, you know, you'll suddenly, a person you might be knowing or dating or whatever, it might turn out to be the person you end up marrying. But by and large, most of you are not going to know who that person is until you're in your 20s. However, what you will know, and what you do need to know, is by your late teenage years, you need to begin to know what you're looking for, okay, in a spouse. What kind of a person you're looking for. That you should begin to help to find out. Now, let's take a look at two views of dating. One is called the world, and one is called God. Okay? Two views of dating. And I hope this will help define how God views it, what's important to God. Okay, now, the world, this is the world's views, and this is God's views. Okay, first of all, one of the things, and there's no question about it, what the world emphasizes in dating is that he or she is a looker. Okay? In other words, the girl has got the right shape, the guy is in good shape, guy's good looking, girl's good looking. And that's the whole emphasis, okay, in the world. In the kingdom, God, what the emphasis is on being a believer, okay? Being a believer, on being holy, and guess what? What I have found personally is that the holier a person is, and I'm not talking about fruity when I'm talking about holy, okay? Sometimes you think of holy, you know, the holy people are the people who go, you know, they do kind of wild things. Okay, that's not holiness. Okay, holiness is being separated unto God, to knowing Him. And what I've found with girls, quite frankly, I've found the most beautiful girls are the ones who know God. And you know why? It's because the richness of God comes out in their face and in their body, and they become the most beautiful ones. They may not be the quote sexiest ones, but they are the most beautiful ones. Okay, because what goes on inside comes out on the outside. What's interesting is I've seen, you know, I used to work, many of you know, I used to work in the Congress. And boy, you get the most beautiful women that's imaginable would be around the Congress, because beauty and power always go together. That's one thing that always move together. And so you get all these beautiful women and these, you know, decent looking guys and stuff, but it was mainly the women, and they would really stack themselves out, you know, looking really nice. But what I'd find is by the time they were getting into their 30s and their 40s, if they didn't know the Lord and they were into the power scene, there'd be a hardness that would start to develop, this hardness and stuff. But you think about, but I would see other women who knew the Lord in their 40s, even in their 50s, and there'd be an attractiveness to them, you know, because God has done a rich thing in them. So that's a big thing. The world emphasizes what you look like. God is emphasizing what you believe, what's important to you, okay? Secondly, the world's emphasis is on what I call a good future, okay? In other words, what is he or she involved in, okay? Are they going to be able to make a good future for you? Are they real intelligent? You know, are they real aggressive and all this other kind of stuff? I believe God, while he wants you to have a good future, the character that he wants you to be looking for in another person is that girl or guy responsible? Okay? You can find, I've seen men who make a lot of money who are totally irresponsible when it comes around to their homes. And they just leave their wives and their children in the lurch. You know? I've also seen women who they've got a good future. They're really into the world scene and all this other kind of stuff. But the same thing when it comes to having a family. Oh no, I don't want to have a family. I just want to have daycare for my children, you know, because I want the future and stuff. And I'm not against daycare, but what I'm saying is that what you need to look for in another person is, are they responsible as people? Okay. Number three, I believe the world emphasizes is what kind of possessions you have. Okay? Possessions. Which includes, wow, look at that hot car. Look at those clothes, man. You know, look at the... right down here. Can't read my own writing. Oh, yeah, there you go. Bank account. Man, that guy, man, he's got a good bank account, a hot car, clothes. Man, they've got everything. Okay? But I believe God is looking for people who invest for the future. And you know what that means? What investing for the future means is that maybe they don't have all the hot and tot things right now, but they're putting things away. They're sacrificing something right now to build a better future so that when they do get married, they'll be ready. Okay? They'll be ready. What I've seen a lot of times is, I remember this guy, my next door neighbor to me, and he got out of high school and he went right into construction work. And there's nothing wrong with construction work, you know, and stuff. But he told me, he said, the reason I did was I just wanted to get all the money I could right now. And he made good money. He said he was making good money until he was 30. And then all of a sudden, all the people that he was with who had gone to college or had done other things, had put some time maybe into vocational training, now suddenly in their 30s, they were beginning to outgrow him income-wise, where he was slipping back. That's the difference between having possessions now and investing for the future. That's what God wants to emphasize, okay? Next thing, the world loves to emphasize romantic spots or romance, okay? Romance. I mean, the world is like completely conquered by romance, okay? And there's nothing wrong with romance in its right place. However, so the whole dating scene for the world is, you know, let's go to the movies, let's go to the clubs, let's do this kind of a thing, let's get out together and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the dating in the kingdom of God, you need to look for two things for dating, and that is opportunities for spiritual growth, okay? And why is that the case? Why is that so important? It's because, remember what I talked about before, shared values. You cannot, a marriage is not going to be based upon what movie you go see. A marriage is going to be based on what you believe, okay? And so bringing someone that you like to a congregation, you know, or to a congregational picnic, or to a Christian concert, or whatever it is, so that you're building your relationship on spiritual things, okay, first and foremost. And the second thing is you want to do things which encourage friendship development, okay? Friendship development. How do I get to really know that person as a person? How do I get to know them? And doing things where there's an opportunity to get to know that other individual. Of course, one of the big things that the world emphasizes in dating is sex. Okay, sex. And those of you that were here when I gave my talk on sex during the summer, you know, let me just say, make it very and totally clear once again, is sex is a prerogative of marriage and marriage only. Okay, there's good reasons for it. If you want them, you can hear my tapes from the summer and stuff. But it's part of the marriage covenant. The world's biggest emphasis is on sex. Television is full of it. It's just beyond belief. You know, sometimes, I mean, I don't watch television at all, but occasionally we'll be at we'll go to a hotel or something like that if I'm traveling, and I'll turn on the television. And, I mean, every show, it's the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen. I can't imagine, you know, and I'm married now, you know, and so I have a sexual relationship with my wife and stuff like that, but man, we don't emphasize it the way the world makes it sound like that's a constant thing. It's like 24 hours, that's what you live for, you know, and yes, I think about it. You know, but not 24 hours of the day. You know, I mean, that's crazy. It's just part of being married. And so the easiest thing is that there should be no sexual involvement whatsoever before you're married. Okay, none at all. And I'm even talking about any kind of serious kissing. That should really wait until you're married. Because once you start the process, it's hard to stop. And I've seen this with so many people, so many teens and so forth, is that the teens who avoid the subject and wait till they get married have a lot fewer problems than those who start, stop. Stacy and I do premarital counseling all the time where we have people like, well, we just did Rubel and Polly. Polly's a teenager, okay? She's only 19, you know, and stuff. And we talked to them right from the beginning about not being involved sexually and stuff, and it really helped them, okay? Because it wasn't this, well, how far do you go? And once you go a little too far, you got to step back, and there's all this tension. Okay? There should just be none. It's very simple.
Okay, and basically, if you get involved in any relationship with anybody, what you should just do right from the beginning is to set your standards and just tell them right off the bat, I'm just not going to be involved in any sexual activity at all. Boom. Okay? Frees up everybody. There's no question. I don't know if you guys have gotten to this point yet, but there's no question. When will he or she kiss me and all this kind of stuff? And if you just say, none, then you don't have to worry about, is it going to happen or not? It's just not going to happen. Okay? Very simple. Because your relationship needs to be based on other things. And finally, in dating, the world says, who you date or who you like is your business. Okay? It's your business. But the scripture says that, and we read what Jesus said before. He said, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one. Which means that the marriage process involves the parents. And obviously, parental involvement. Okay? That's usually a bummer, because most teenagers think that the parents don't know anything. Okay? That's the typical teenage thinking. Oh, my parents really don't know the way it is. They're kind of oldie but goldies, you know? And that's what I used to think. But guess what? They know a lot more than you think. Because they were there too. They were a teenager, you know? And I remember my teenage years extremely well, you know? Very well, because I became that person. That's who I was. All right. Those are the lists. Now, the question is, the last subject I really want to cover here is what kinds of dates? You know, what kinds of things should you or shouldn't you be doing? Just to give you a little, you know, break and so forth, or little guidance. And, first of all, I want to cover the early teenage years, which I'd call the people between 13 and 15 or 13 and 16, somewhere in there. Okay, those are the early teenage years. Dates should be in group activities. Okay, if you're going to do it at all. Okay, early teenage years, it should be group activities. Now, do you realize that when all of you guys, when you get together for a party or you get together with a group of people, of other teens, that you're actually dating? So you may not know that. You may not like any one individual, but you're actually dating because you're having interrelationships with peoples of the opposite sex, and you're subconsciously determining what it is that you like about different people and what is it that you don't like. Okay? And so that's dating. So group activities is very much in part of the dating process. And for early teenage years, very important. Early teenagers should not pair off. Okay? Don't pair off. That is really a mistake if you get into that pattern early on. Don't pair off. Allow your likes and dislikes to be kind of your own. So what? Oh, I don't know. Has it hit the max yet? Okay. All right. Also, in the early teenage years, is your parents are going to be very involved. A lot of your parents will probably say that you're not able to date one other individual until you reach a certain age. Okay, and if that's what they say, you've got to honor that. All right, there is no right age, I believe. The Bible doesn't say this is when you're allowed to start dating one individual, but the focus should be on early years, is group activities. Okay, put parents in here too. And now what about later years, later teenage years, which I'd call maybe 16 to 19 and so forth. What should be involved? What you need to be looking for and doing is the emphasis should be on shared values. We talked about that before. Shared values. Probably the most important issue in dating and later in marriage. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between the Messiah and Satan? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Okay. In other words, what I mean by shared values is that, for instance, is that you should only be involved in a relationship with another believer. Okay. If I have seen couples get married where one was a believer and the other one was not a believer. And the thinking was by the believer that, through my influence, the unbeliever will become a believer. And you know what happened? The marriage turns out to be a disaster. Okay? Because one thing you learn about is that you can't change another person. You have no power to change another person by your life. And so that's why it's critical that one of the shared values is that you find a person who believes like you, okay? Who believes in God and is a follower of the Lord. Number two, shared values is that, this, I said this before, is that you need to base your relationship on spiritual activities, okay? And again, when I say spiritual activities, I'm not talking about boring things. Spiritual activities don't have to be boring, okay? Like I said, you go to Christian concerts. You know, you can go to different things that are led by spiritual things so that, again, the emphasis of your relationship is on shared values. You also learn, and you should, once you get more involved with an individual, is that early on, you should begin to pray together, okay? Because prayer is going to, what is going to, should be ultimately the spiritual foundation of the relationship. It doesn't have to be, you know, spend 2 hours in prayer with the other person, but at least at the close of an evening, just say, let's commit this to the Lord. Or even the beginning of an evening, let's ask God to bless this. I remember when I was dating, in fact, I think it was when I was dating Stacy years and years ago. This is what, like, she was like 16 and I was like 20. And I remember we went out with another couple to a restaurant in our area. And what we did, it was kind of strange, but, you know, it was kind of funny at the same time, is that we prayed over every course of the meal that came. I mean, it was kind of weird. You know, it's like, okay, we pray over the soup. Now we pray over the salad. Now we pray over the main meal. And then the dessert, you know, and so on. And it's a little strange or whatever. But, we, you know, at that point in time, we had a special, God was doing some special things with us. It was like a new thing, walking with God, and just the excitement of walking with God. But it based our relationship on prayer. Okay? Also, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Which means, especially as a teenager, don't just get intimately involved with one person. That's a mistake. Okay? That is really a mistake. Because what ends up happening is you get overly emotionally involved, and even sometimes physically involved, if you get too tight with one person. And also, remember, part of the dating relationship is learning about what it is that you like and don't like in a future spouse. And so if you're just with one person all the time, that's a little bit hard to find out what other things are like. You know, maybe there's other people or other values that you would like. You should be doing, your emphasis should be doing fun things. Things that, you know, where activities are involved. Going to ball games or going to picnics or going to concerts and stuff like that. Stay away from television watching together, all right? Because television watching is, you're simply sitting there staring. Most of the influence from television is negative. Starts inputting thoughts into your minds that are negative, you know, and it ends up leading to things that you probably shouldn't be involved in, which is usually sex. And also, stay away from late night activities, okay? The later, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, we're just talking till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, you know, I mean, I was there. I know what you do at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? And it's usually not much talking. I mean, you can talk at 8 in the morning as well as you can talk at 2 in the morning, okay? It's usually in stuff. And so you stay away from that, and obviously you stay away from sex, okay? Last thing, important thing to look for in another person is as you start to draw closer to one person, maybe late teenage years, 19, 20, then you're into your 20s and you're starting to, you know, develop maybe the looks for one individual and stuff. One thing that's very important to look for in that person is, what is that individual's relationship to his or her parents? Okay, not your parents, but his or her parents. You know, especially, what is the relationship between a man and his mother and a girl and her father? What are their relationships? If you see a bad, if you're a guy and you see that the girl that you like has a bad relationship with your father, you're asking for problems in a marriage.
Your father.
Her father. Okay? In other words, what is her relationship with her father? Or if it's a girl, what is his relationship with his mother? If it's a negative relationship, if there's a lot of tension and stuff like that, a lot of fighting, then you're asking for trouble when you get married. Okay? Because what's going to happen is the girl is going to relate somewhat to you as she related to her father, okay? And the guy is going to relate somewhat to the girl as he did to his mother. And if they can't relate to their opposites in their parents, then they're going to have a hard time relating to you, okay? And you're asking for trouble later on, okay? All right. Any questions or any, want to throw out anything?
What about those girls? I don't know. What about those ladies?
What? What they need to do is one thing that God did with me is I had a really bad relationship with my folks when I was in teenage years. When I was a teenager, I was a real rebel. But I got saved when I was 17. When I was 19 in college, God convicted me. Man, I mean, it was just terrible conviction of what I had done to my parents, you know. And I just saw how badly I treated them. And I remember writing a letter from college, and just a letter of confession to them, and just said, "Man, I am sorry. You did all this for me, and I was a total jerk, you know, and stuff like that." And so that's what you need to see in that other person is, if the relationship is bad, you need to pray for that relationship to get better. Or you maybe need even to be an assistant to get that relationship, to help that relationship and stuff. Stacy had a very bad relationship with her parents, which only got healed, or I guess primarily her mother, only got healed in the last maybe 3 years and so on. But it definitely cost us in our marriage, just that, some of those injury factors. Any questions, comments, anything like that? You find it helpful, useful? You know, I threw a lot at you there, and for different ages. All right. Let me turn this off, and I want to talk about something else here. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's first of all just have prayer, and then I'll talk about something else. Let's just give our hearts to the Lord. Father, I just pray for each of these teens right now, Lord God. Father, I know, Lord, that as they grow up, Lord, they're looking, Father, they're beginning to feel interest in members of the opposite sex, Lord God, and Father, that's totally normal. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help and guide each one of them in directing their attention to the things that you would focus on in a dating relationship, Lord, and not, Father, the things that the world emphasizes. Father, help these folks be sanctified, be holy, Lord God, to know you, Father, and to find throughout the years the perfect person, Lord, that you have designed for them, Lord God. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.